Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts. We ask you to please share those on social media because America Out Loud has to deal with the same censorship from social media that all of you are dealing with. So sharing the articles and podcast helps us out a great deal, and we appreciate it greatly. We hope all of our listeners are healthy. As you know, Rob took over last night. I was feeling a little under the weather. I might have a little case of the Omicron virus, which we can get into in a little bit. But it seems to be that in this America currently, that COVID is everywhere. Seems like no one can get away from it. In fact, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has recently just tested positive for COVID, despite being fully vaccinated and being a proponent of masks. So it just seems like that is the world we are living in right now. Coronavirus is everywhere, no matter where you go. It seems to be that this is the new normal. I expect this to be the case, not just this winter, but every winter. Rob, what are your thoughts? Would you agree?
I agree completely, Andrew. Want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. And as you said, I went at it solo. I did the best I could. I hope that you guys were pleased with the information that I had to present to you. And as always, I was talking about the virus, talking about Jan 6. And it's like the usual things that we talk about, and we're going to probably talk about them again tonight. We also have on with us Heather Robinson, who has been on with us before. We like having Heather on to dissect and to bring in her analysis of the news. Andrew and I, we're always going hardcore, and Heather has a different take on things, which is really good. We always like to have different views as to what's happening out there. But going back to your opening, Andrew, you're right. AOC, she has it. Not only AOC, Whoopi Goldberg, Anna Navarro, and there are a few other lefties that have caught this insidious virus, and they've been vaccinated. Now, we mentioned that Lloyd Austin had it. He's been vaccinated 3 times, and he walks around with 2 masks on and then a shield over his face, but yet and still he could not keep himself or prevent himself from getting this virus. And the latest I've been hearing is that everyone almost will be touched in some capacity by the Omicron variant. And I heard that there's a new variant out there, Florona, and that Corona and Omicron, they're combining forces. So you can run and you can hide, but you will not be able to escape this virus. I had it over the Christmas break. I contracted, I did, my son, my cousin, we all had it. I had no symptoms. They had a mild fever, as I'd mentioned. Before I contracted it, I had gone in 2 different times, tested negative. The last time, they said, oh, you got it. And I was feeling perfectly fine. So no matter what you do, no matter how healthy you are, China has definitely dealt us a bad one here. And we really need to look into it. And I'm just amazed at the powers that are in control on the Hill. Well, I shouldn't say that I'm amazed, because this is typical of them. They're looking at everything else other than the origins of this virus, the same way they were during Jan 6, as opposed to looking at who didn't make certain that the Capitol was secure. They're looking at, well, this person did this and they had the people to do that. We don't care about that. Nancy Pelosi, what did you know and when did you know it? Release your records. Because apparently the police in charge of the security had sent you a memo saying, hey, Madam Speaker, we need to do X, Y, Z, and she dismissed it. But she's not focusing on that. She's focusing on, let's see how we can tear down Trump. Let's see what we can do to make certain he does not ever run again. This is crazy. But we shouldn't be surprised, because this is how they behave. No, I don't want to keep talking about this, but at the same time, I do talk about it, because they talked about Russia collusion for like almost 4 years and there was no collusion. So now they want to talk about this and there was no insurrection. The FBI said so. The Department of Justice said so. No one has been charged with an insurrection. I spoke about this last night. But yet and still you have people still an insurrection. I was watching, and I'm going to call this out, Fox News the other day, Brett Baier. I mean, I like him. He's a good journalist. he's talking about the insurrection. It's like, Brett, they told you there was no insurrection. Why do you keep saying it? And then we had Russia collusion. None of them would say there was no collusion. They kept, well, the Russia collusion. They should have started off the newscast saying, the left is saying Russia collusion, but there is no Russia collusion. You see, when you get this out there in the public square, people will start to think that it did happen. And that's exactly what the left wants. They want us to keep saying it and saying that so that whenever a conversation comes up, whenever we talk about President Trump winning the presidency, that people will always say, oh, and by the way, he colluded with the Russians, although he didn't. Now, I will say this, that after all this is said and done, and should Republicans take back the House and the Senate this year, I don't want to hear anything about we need to move on. We need to be about the people's business. We need to get to the bottom of this. Ron Johnson said that he's going to run again. Good. We need people that are going to soldier this through and will expose this. This is the only way the country can be brought back together, is that if we expose this and expose these individuals for who they are, obstructionists, insurrectionists, liars, and colluders. Yes, I said it. From Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Liz Cheney, and even Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, because they all had their hands in on this. James Comey, Andrew McCabe. We can't let these people just walk out into, like they're CEOs, they mess up the company and then they get a golden package and they parachute out to some island. Hillary Clinton had her chance to do it. She refused to do it. She keeps putting more coals to the fire. Bring her in. And if anyone says, oh, this is retribution, no, it's not. It's getting to the bottom of this. It's getting our country back to where it belongs. No one is above the law. And I want all of them to be held accountable. And if, hear me clearly, if by chance, although I know it's not true, Trump colluded with the Russians, okay, then bring him in also. But we know that it was a lie. It was a lie. And when Jeff Sessions said, okay, I will appoint a special counsel, he thought he was doing the right thing, thinking that, okay, they'll be fair and they'll prove to them that there was no collusion, but that wasn't it. They just wanted the special counsel because they know they can go 12 ways to Sunday, all over the map, because Bob Mueller knew there was no collusion the moment he looked at the paperwork. But what did he do? The partisan hack that he is. And some saying, well, he's a conservative. He voted Republicans. I don't care. Look at Liz Cheney. Look at Adam Kissinger. Look at Mitch McConnell. They're Republicans also. And look at how they behave. And there are a lot others that are on the Hill doing the exact same thing. Lisa Murkowski. Look at the ones that to impeach. Ben Sessions. Sasson, or whatever his name is. I mean, these people don't fool me at all. And it is time that we get them all out. We need true conservatives in office that care about this country. And just in case you didn't realize it, I am all fired up. 2022. Yes, January 11th. I'm all fired up because I want an end to all of this nonsense. I want everyone exposed. I don't care if you're on the left, if you're on the right, I want it all exposed. I see this every day. Why are we still going through this? It's so clear that these people are lying and cheating. You look around you, look at our great country, look at how we've fallen down. And then this whole thing with the virus, we had a Supreme Court justice utter the words of the fake news and saying that children are on ventilators. Hundreds of thousands of children on ventilators. Justice Sotomayor, can you believe it? She said that children were dying on ventilators. That just wasn't true. It was a talking point of the left on Twitter, a cesspool of lies and fake news CNN, but yet she repeated it. So where's she getting her information from? From the fake news. And for her to say that, and this isn't the first time she has come up with false information.
Yeah, she also tried to insinuate that the Omicron virus is more dangerous than the Delta variant, yes, which there is no evidence of whatsoever.
She did. Now, before we let Heather on, I want to play the tape because, you know, now I like to support what we're saying. I like to have it out there. And I played it last night. And I think that we should play it again because I want people to see how these individuals will lie. So what you're going to hear, what you're about to hear is you're going to hear Sonia at the court, okay, on the Supreme Court, lying about the numbers, about the virus. And then you will have Dr., I think it's Marky Marley, who's going to come back and he's going to counter what she's saying. Again, I played this last night and I want to play it again. So here we go. Roll the tape.
We have more affected people in the country today than we had a year ago in January. We have hospitals that are almost at full capacity with people severely ill on ventilators. We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition.
There you have it. Lying. Where did she get the information that she was spouting? Now, here we go to counter what she's saying. I want to play this also. Cue the tape. Let's roll it.
Fox News Sunday that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. I want to get your reaction to this statement from her. Listen.
You know, we do know that people who are vaccinated are still protected about 70% against infection, especially if they're boosted. So the people who are ending up in the hospital, the people who are ending up very sick with Omicron are the ones who are unvaccinated.
Unvaccinated, is that the case, doctor?
It's not true, because what she's referring to is the protection against severe illness. The protection against getting the infection does go down slightly with vaccination, and it does go down slightly with boosters, but it's transient. And after 10 weeks from your booster, that is specifically Pfizer and Moderna, that efficacy against symptomatic COVID goes down to 35% and 45%. So people who advocate so rigorously for boosters as a way to stop the spread are in a real tough time interpreting that study, because you would need to get boosters every 3 months in order to keep those antibody levels high enough to stop the transmission. Look, it doesn't matter if you're immunized for measles or MMR or the flu, you are at risk of Omicron. Think of it as a bad cold season that's going around now, and about half of everybody you know will get this virus.
That was Dr. Marty Marquet. There you have it. Now, he knows Dr. Fauci, Dr. Fraud, Dr. Frankenstein. Why is it that we can't put him up against Dr. Fauci and say, okay, let's study what they're both saying and come up with something that makes sense? Now, the first voice you heard was Dr. Rachel Walensky, who's over the CDC. And before that, you had the Justice, Sonia Sotomayor, spouting misinformation. Now, is social media going to take her down, take those comments down from Twitter? Absolutely not, because they're okay with that misinformation being put out there. Because the more they put it out there, the more people are afraid and the more they can take away from your freedom. And they're using the virus to take your freedoms away. Heather, thank you for joining us. What do you have to say?
Thank you, Rob. Well, it's confusing times to be sure, and it is emerging that apparently, you know, the vaccines, while I still think they're worth something, and, you know, as you guys know, I've been pro-vaccine right along. I do think the vaccines themselves are safe, but it's emerging that they are not a guarantee or even anything close against getting the virus or some variant of it. And I think there's a lot we simply don't know. And it's a bizarre, surreal situation that's evolving in real time. You guys know I personally have a theory, which is that, as I said, I'm not a scientist. I just play one on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. But I think that the virus may be mutating around the vaccines. But it does appear to be getting milder in terms of the severity. I'm sorry to hear you're under the weather, Andrew, but I trust you'll be back in fighting form soon. It seems that Omicron, you know, doesn't have too devastating impact on healthy young people. It seems like a bad cold from what I'm hearing. And if that's the case, then I guess, you know, we have to sally forth. And from the start, I think one thing that we've all agreed on here is that we're not anti-precautions, but the world can't stop because of this virus and its many variants. And we have to do like previous generations did when they were facing scary and uncertain things. We can't be paralyzed in fear. We have to wash our hands and wear our masks when we're in a crowded place and live our lives. That's what I think.
Right, but we are, unfortunately, we're being paralyzed in fear. And you look at what Andrew has said at the top of the hour about AOC. She escaped to Florida, maskless, having a party with her friends, dancing around, hugging people, talking without masks, drinking and merry men. Hey, I'm all for that. There's nothing wrong with it. But when you're going to be in New York City, you're from New York City, you're going to DC, and you're going to preach the virtues of putting that mask on. And if you don't, you're un-American and you're bad. And then you're going to go and do something completely different. Now, I guarantee you, the media, they're going to go light on this. They're going to make light on it. They're not going to say a lie. They'll just say she got it because everyone is getting it. And I mind you, that Biden had said that he wasn't going to stop the country, but he was going to stop the virus. It hasn't happened, Joe. It has not happened. Meanwhile, your minions on the left, the hypocrites like Nancy Pelosi, who during the, when we were in the throes of this, was going to have her hair done, Maxine Waters on a plane without a mask, Barack Obama having a birthday party, a big bash without mask. And the list goes on and on and on.
You know, I'll tell you, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the era, it was the era of great hypocrisy, I think, this time. You know, I wrote down as you were speaking, is being an AOC conservative, excuse me, no, not conservative, is being an AOC COVID alarmist anything like being an Al Gore style environmentalist? Remember when Al Gore was flying
Yes.
private jet, you know, screaming about the imminent demise of the world due to COVID, global warming. I mean, I just feel like we're kind of in, you know, a similar paradox where we have all these people who are insisting this is the end of the world, but they're not living in isolation or taking every precaution themselves. And so I think we have to just conclude that this is, I mean, I think people, it's, listen, it's much easier to tell other people what to do, and people don't really see themselves, you know, and I think the hard left is, they're really experts at that, you know, they're real big on condemning others and talking about how other people can, should change and should completely, you know, upend their lives because they're, we're all so privileged, but they don't do much self-reflection and, you know, they don't seem to take a very Buddhist position that, you know, you have to, the change starts with the self, you know? So I think they're going to keep on doing whatever they want to do and telling everybody else to do differently.
Yeah, obviously things aren't looking too good for the Biden administration in handling this coronavirus. But really, this is the same thing we were screaming from the rooftops last year. Is it does not matter who the president is. This virus is going to spread regardless. And it seems like just now some people on the other side are willing to acknowledge that when we were saying that all last year, that this is not President Trump's fault that this virus is spreading. And now you have it at an even worse point, perhaps now with Joe Biden. And a lot of those people that were blaming Trump are staying pretty quiet.
Again, Joe told us, Joe said that he was going to get rid of the virus. What happened? That's all I want to know. And let me play the tape. He said that he was going to get rid of the virus.
Because you mean virus? The Trump virus?
another overpromise, I think, was his incident there.
Okay, here we go. Let me play the tape. Here we go.
Shut down the virus. I'm going to shut down the virus. I'm going to shut down the virus. I'll never, ever, ever quit. That's how we shut down this virus.
There you have it. Now, we will play this the same way they kept playing this whole Russia collusion thing until it starts to ring a bell and resonate that this guy was lying. And then the other day, he came out. And I thought this was really a tell-all sign. And I was fearful of this. I felt that this might happen because they're now trying to push this on kids. And you know how kids are. You know, you have these parents that are overprotective, helicopter moms. I don't even want to say helicopter moms. You have a lot of parents that are completely have been brainwashed. So they're going to start sending their kids to school and saying, don't play with this person because they don't have the vaccine and you might get the virus. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, Joe said this in a press conference. Roll the tape. Here we go.
For patients who still haven't gotten their kids vaccinated, please get them vaccinated. Look out for their interest here. It's the best way to protect them. For parents and kids who are too young to be vaccinated, surround your kids with people who are vaccinated. There's a lot of reasons.
Now you see that? Surround your kids around kids who have been vaccinated. A subtle form of segregation, form of we're better than them. And we have predicted this on this show, Andrew and Heather. I said this about a couple of weeks ago. That once they start rolling this out, they're going to start saying these people here and those people there, the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. And truth be told, in my humble opinion, from my little studies that I've done, looking at people who have been vaccinated and haven't, I've been vaccinated. My 8-year-old nephew has been vaccinated. My son, not vaccinated. I've been speaking with his pediatrician about it. My son got the virus. We got the virus. Now, how is it that I'm vaccinated, my 8-year-old nephew is vaccinated, my son isn't vaccinated, and he got the virus? Now, some would say, but how do you know that he didn't give it to you guys? Well, we're completely vaccinated. And we were told that if you get vaccinated, you're good. You won't get it.
But Rob, is it possible though that thank God it sounds like you guys didn't get it real severely? So maybe the vaccinations did mitigate the symptoms for you and the little ones.
Heather, I'm glad you brought that up. That is true. But at the same time, and I'm going to find the tape and I'm going to play the tape because we were told that if you got the vaccination, you would not get the virus. So how is it that we got it? Albeit, the symptoms weren't as severe, but we were told from the onset that if you get the vaccination, you wouldn't get the virus. What happened? And that's not to say things can't change, because I do believe, again, in the efficacy of the vaccine. This was Trump's vaccine with Operation Warp Speed. I do believe that people of a certain age, if you have an underlying condition, yes, it is good for you. But the push that you would not get it, and now we have all of these breakthrough cases. Mm-hmm. And look at the people who've had all of the shots and they're getting the virus.
Well, but you know, anecdotally, the people I know who've gotten it the worst were not vaccinated. One of my friends, who's a great conservative herself, Julia Gorin, she's a writer as well. And she writes a lot about the Balkans. She's fine, thank God. But I think she probably wouldn't mind my sharing that she did wind up hospitalized. She was anti-vax and, you know, although she was not telling anybody else not to get it or, you know, she wasn't anti-vax in the sense of being, you know, against it existing or something like that. She just didn't want it for herself. But, you know, and she, thank goodness she's fine, you know, but she had a, you know, a real rough time with it. And, you know, I think she I don't want to speak for her, but I think she would reconsider that decision. I don't think she feels she needs the vaccine now because she's already had it. But, you know, she was saying that that experience did affect her thinking about it. And, you know, I know you guys are not anti-vax, you're anti-mandate. But I think, you know, I basically agree with you. I think that we don't want to jump from observing correctly that, you know, that the vaccine is not a guarantee you're not going to get it, obviously, but I do think the vaccines are still worth something, you know,
right.
But I know you're not saying they're not.
Right. And in my situation, personally, I'm not vaccinated and I believe I caught it last week and I did feel a lot of symptoms. I had a lot of aches and pains and I was very sick for a couple of days. So it's hard to tell if maybe I wouldn't have been had I been vaxxed. So I guess it's just out there. Who knows what the choice is? I guess everyone's got to make their own choice. It seems like the problem for Biden is he is overpromised and is under-delivering time and time again, from the vaccine to shutting down the virus. And that seems to be what he keeps running into problems with. You guys are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew with our guest, Heather Robinson.
Hail, my fellow Americans. How did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Well, there was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutLoud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back with After Dark, Rob and Andrew again. Thank you for joining us. And we were talking about the vaccine. And I think that's just like on everyone's mind, at the forefront of everyone's mind, the vaccine and who's getting it, who's not getting it, what we were told about the vaccine, that if you get the vaccine, you won't get the virus. And we know that's not true. And we're okay with that. I think the biggest gripe that a lot of people have is that we were told one thing so adamantly by Joe Biden, and only now it's changing because he sees that what he said just simply wasn't truthful. And now they want to pivot and pretend as if though they never said it, and at the same time try to score points with his administration and say, hey, you know, we didn't say this, we never said it. Well, thankfully, I was able to pull the tape. And it's nothing like having a tape and having it from, as people, many people say, the horse's mouth. So we're going to play the tape again. And yes, we played this tape before, and we're going to keep playing this tape until it starts to resonate with everyone that we need to say, hey, what exactly is going on? Rachel Walensky is saying one thing. She's saying, if you have it 5 days asymptomatic, you can go back out into the public. Dr. Fauci is saying 10. And then when she goes and says 10, he goes and says 5. Okay, we get it. We know that, you know, this virus is new, although we're going on 3 years, but it seems to be becoming political, their positions. And I think that clearly when it was reduced from 10 days to 5 days, it was political pressure. So, and this has got to stop. And this is why people don't trust our leaders and what they're saying, because of all the mixed messaging. So let me just play Joe Biden saying that if you take the vaccine, you're not gonna get the virus. And then we're gonna go from there. Here we go. Roll the tape.
You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Now, maybe at the time, Andrew and Heather, he wasn't aware that you still can get COVID if you've had the vaccinations. But they were so adamant and they were so forceful. And now trying to mandate that people get the vaccines, private companies. You have Citibank that's saying, oh, we're definitely going to mandate it. I guess just to curry favor with the powers that be, to make it seem as if, though, hey, we're on top of this. This has now made its way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is now looking at it. And I spoke about this on last night. At the top of the hour, I played Sonia Sotomayor giving out misinformation. So at some point, I guess what we're trying to say here is that we need to all stop, take a deep breath, stop making this political, stop making this the haves and the have-nots. You got it, you don't, you can't talk to me, you can't play with me. And let's bring the country together. And this is for both the left and the right. If Trump decides to run for president again, he needs to bring the country together. We need the country to be brought together. There's too much separatism right now. There's too much animosity. There's too much vitriol in the public square.
There is, but I don't think that the hard left will allow Trump to bring the country together. I don't know if they'll allow anyone to bring the country.
Well, I was going to ask you that. What about Biden? They're working against him, it seems, with everything that he... I mean, I never liked Biden. He's run for president many times. And as Bob Gates once said, he's been on the wrong side of every foreign affairs situation that we've had. I think he's been on the wrong side of everything. And I think he's only looking at it from the lens of what can me and my family get out of this. You look at Hunter Biden, they're turning a blind eye on that. But he's sending his attorney general, Merrick Garland, after parents that are concerned for the education of their children. Merrick Garland. And then that insidious address that Biden gave the country on Jan 6, it was mean-spirited. It was hateful. Now, if he wants to say that in an interview, that's fine. But when you're addressing the country, and in my humble opinion, I think he was doing so trying to get a rile out of Trump. He would have loved had Trump come out and just started just guns a-blazing and started making all these accusations. But Trump, to his credit, was measured in what he had to say. I take my hat off to him for that. Because when I was listening to Biden, I said, oh no, Trump needs to come out. He needs to let this guy have it. I mean, the gravitas and the tone of his speech, he lost the election. He's a loser. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. No, why isn't he like that with Putin or with with China? But he's doing this before the American people because he was playing to his base and trying as desperate as he could to get Trump to come out and say something. And had Trump said something, that would have been the talk from here until the election. Never mind that the economy is tanking, never mind that things are going bad, never mind this at the border, ripping away at the seams of people coming across, never mind that with the virus, things are out of control, there's no testing. Never mind any of that, never mind the 13 soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan, that it was a complete failure. We should be talking about that right now because we look like we are amateurs with what happened there. But we've moved on. Never mind the fact that Biden was looking at giving illegal aliens almost $500,000. Never mind the fact that they're trying to change the voting rights. Never mind any of that. Don't look at it. You don't see it. It never existed if we don't talk about it. We're just going to pivot and keep pivoting. Never mind the fact that the Democrats that have been pushing this vaccine and saying the same thing. If you get the vaccine, you won't get the virus. They got it. AOC, it got her. It got her. Now, I'm not out saying hooray, hooray, hooray. But there's a part of me that's saying it got you. Now, what do you have to say? It got you, Whoopi Goldberg. What do you have to say? It got you, Anna Navarro. What do you have to say? It got you, Lloyd Austin, who has kicked out 300 soldiers because they didn't want the vaccine. It got you. Now, what do you all have to say about it? It's poetic justice, I think, because every time a conservative got it and died from it, here they come. Oh, look, he got it and he died. Now they got it. What do they have to say now? Shame on you all making this political. Shame, shame, shame. And we on the right must be dutiful and calling it out because they certainly won't do it. What do you have to say, Heather?
Well, I think it's interesting, you know, parallel. You're right. There was a smugness about things for them when a conservative or someone who was unvaccinated got it, which was horrible. I mean, you're right that it was a little shocking to me, Rob, when I heard you say that, because the truth is we conservatives don't usually engage in such stuff. I mean, I know what you're saying, and it's actually a lot less mean than what they do, because I mean, I think since they are vaccinated, they probably won't have it that severely, and I hope they won't. But I mean, look, I think that bottom line, there's a lot, it's emerging that there's continues to be a lot nobody really knows. And I think humility from everyone is in order. This is an unprecedented thing, and this virus has taken a lot of lives. And, you know, as I've said before, I've thought all along that the ideal attitude and approach should be one of protectiveness toward the elderly and those with pre-existing conditions in our society. Because we are a prosperous and humane society, we have a lot of old people and a lot of people living longer with a lot of other stuff, you know, and thank God we are not some kind of totalitarian society that only values people for their productivity. You know, we love our parents, our grandparents, our sick relatives. This should be our concern. These are the people who have been at risk from this from the start, really. I mean, it's really ravaged those populations. And we as a society should come together in a protective attitude toward them from the left and the right. I think that we need leadership. Somebody just step forth and say, you know, there's a lot we don't know, but we know that that's who's most vulnerable. So let's just all have a spirit of cooperation and humility, not be shaming and blaming, but each look to ourselves to do our best and make some sacrifices in our day-to-day life to protect the vulnerable. That should have been the message from the start. Not there is no virus, not let's be paralyzed and shut down the world. You know, I think that the truth is this is a dangerous thing for some people, and we need to come together and cooperate to try to protect them. That's what we do as a, you know, as a society of conscience and responsible, and not a bunch of hysterical fraidy cats blaming each other, you know. And I'm looking to hear more. You know, I loved our previous president, Trump. You know, I have respect for the office. You know, I try not to go too hard on Biden, but I really think nobody has really emerged as the leader to unite us, you know, in that way. You know, maybe we need somebody who's, you know, more of a courageous diplomat, you know, who can do that, you know, in 2024 and before then, I hope.
As you said, I think you said it so poignantly in the first half hour when you said these are the worst of times. These were the best of times. I really like that because we're definitely.
It's actually Charles Dickens. But
Charles Dickens, right. Right. Yeah, Charles Dickens. And definitely this is what we are up against right now. Now, pivoting from there and going into what we here as New Yorkers are experiencing, and not just New York, but I think across the country with this increased crime spree that's taking place. And just about all of our cities, and everyone is being impacted by it. Definitely the larger cities like Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York City, Houston, Austin, Atlanta, Georgia, San Francisco. And what you have in place is you have these DAs that have come into power that thanks to George Soros, and we've spoken about this before, and he has like thrown a lot of money at their political races in order to get them into their positions. We now look here in New York City, we have District Attorney Alvin Bragg, and he's coming out saying certain crimes that he's not going to prosecute. And you have the new police chief who happens to be a Black woman saying that this is just isn't going to work well. You even have the mayor, Eric Adams, who's also saying, I don't know about that. Now, we're going to have a show on Eric Adams also, because he's doing some things that I don't like okaying resident aliens to be able to vote in our elections. He's standing behind this entire mandate for vaccines. And then he has his brother, his younger brother, making him a commissioner. Like, okay, what is this? Is this going to be the same thing, de Blasio 2.0? But we'll talk about that later in a different show. But I want to talk about the crime, because Heather, you and I, before, when we were doing our pre-work, we were talking about it. You're in, I think it's Pittsburgh.
I am, Rob, but I've been back and forth between Pittsburgh and New York.
Okay, yes. So you can talk to it, because like you said, you've spoken to individuals about this, and there's a lot of people are concerned. Now, this is what I don't understand, Heather, is that why is it people knew what they were going to get when they voted for these individuals, because they weren't shy about saying, I'm not going to prosecute certain crimes because I don't think that is fair. Now that we've got them, they're now saying, oh my God, they're actually going to do this. Well, they told you they were going to do it. Why are you shocked about it? I mean, I just can't reconcile the two, Heather, that you were told one thing.
I just think most people don't really study the issues and the candidates the way you do, Rob. I think they pull that lever for the Democrats and whoever. And in this case, you know, the Democrats are dominated in New York by the hard left. I just had a conversation with a friend who's still in New York, and she's visiting Pittsburgh, and she's a smart woman, but just, you know, I mean, she basically, I don't know, in denial. I said to her, you know, I'm concerned about what's going to happen to the city, you know, the drift toward more crime and disorder. You know, this new, I'm hopeful about the mayor, Eric Adams. I think that we don't know yet, but I tend to think he's more moderate than some. I know he does have some sincere, I believe, concern for Black children. For one thing, he's attended a lot of the funerals of kids who were killed, regardless of who killed them, you know, whether it was a white person or a Black person. I mean, the point is he cares about Black lives, I believe, more sincerely than a lot of people who spout slogans. And so I've been hopeful that he will, you know, be fair, but tough. And I don't know, though. I mean, with what you you raised my awareness about this district attorney, Alvin Bragg, and decriminalizing resisting arrest. It doesn't sound good. And I said this to my friend, and of course she countered immediately with, oh no, nobody wants that. Nobody wants more crime. And, you know, I said, I don't know that nobody wants, I mean, I think there are extremists who have an agenda to promote a kind of anarchy. You talked about George Soros and whoever else, but beyond that, I don't think it's that most people, even on the left, want more crime. They're just, what? I don't know. They're deluded. They think that they're inculcated with these twisted and fancy theories that get, you know, that take us further away from common sense, you know. And I just think it is very worrisome. And I hope this new mayor has the wisdom and the backbone to stand up to these hard leftists, because I think the city needs leadership badly. We saw in other eras how New York spun out of control, and there is this cyclical thing to New York, you know, but where things get crazy and then the city comes back. But I don't think that happens in a vacuum. Last time it was the leadership of Rudy Giuliani that turned the city around. And I hate to see how it's just how it's regressed. And I hope Eric Adams is, you know, he seems like a good man. I hope that he will not surrender to this wacky extremism.
It makes you wonder, and he said, Alvin Bragg, he was saying that he grew up in Harlem, And he made it a point to say that when he's looking at prosecuting the crime, he's going to look at the person's background. He's going to look at the race, their upbringing. I'm like, race shouldn't ever come into play when you're applying the law. So in essence, what he's doing is taking us back 50 or 60 years when the law did look at race and socioeconomic level. Justice is supposed to be blind. It's supposed to be applied judiciously across the board. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. Mm-hmm. And when you start to create a system like this, and I've said this before, and I actually spoke about it on last night's show, is that we keep talking about fair and equity and making certain that everyone is treated fairly. But when you come in with the intent and you're saying, this is what we're going to do, that this is how we're going to apply the law. And if you're Black and if you committed a crime, you more than likely, we're just going to give you a slap on the wrist and said, just go away. That's okay. Don't do it again. And then your reasoning is that, well, because for so long, Black people received severe punishment, whereas white people did it. I get it. And it did happen. And it wasn't fair. But you don't equal the system or make it equal and fair by saying, now we're going to give them an okay and let them move on. But as far as your counterpart, we're going to make certain that we punish them, because what you're doing now is you're creating another form of segregation. And as time goes on, you're creating ill spirit, ill feelings. And those same people that you're trying to punish now, they will be in power, and then they will be in control, and then they will punish you. And then you will say, that's not fair. Why don't we say what happened in the past was wrong? And now we're going to make certain that things are done correctly. And I think one of the first things to do to go about doing that is to go into the Black communities and let them know, no means no. You cannot commit these crimes. You cannot do this. Where are the fathers? Help these individuals understand the rule of law. Help them keep their families together. Because what you're about to do right now and not punishing these crimes is to tear apart the family away again. You're tearing down that institution. If anything, Black people are extremely conservative. Quiet as is kept. But you would not know that if you speak to Joy Reid and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and even Alvin Bragg, because their only thing is, no, we're going to give them a leg up. So you're telling them that it's okay to commit a crime. That's the only thing someone who's committing a crime wants to hear, that I can do it and there's no recourse. Why would you want to do that? It's the low expectation of that you're setting for Black and brown people, that they can't get it right. They don't understand the laws. So we're going to let them just slide on. So if you have two people committed a crime, a murder, a Black person and a white person, you're going to say, oh, let's give the Black person 2 years and the white person 10 years, because that's what happened in the past. It is the job of the DA to uphold the law, to enforce the law, not to make the law. If you feel that the laws aren't correct, then you should go in and speak with the legislatures and get them to change it. And this is happening in none other than liberal New York City, Chicago, LA, and San Francisco, all liberal havens. So why is it that those laws that were created by Democrats, are against Black people? Why are they oppressing Black people? It's not Republicans that are doing it. So I would submit to you that the true racist would be none other than Democrats, because they have systematically created laws that would go against Black people, that would cause more harm on Black people. Look at the laws, the drug laws of New York City. Who created them? And who suffered from them? Blacks. But instead of trying to change them and make them better, they say, wait a minute, let's just look at this and see if it makes sense. We're going to give them a leg up. We're going to say, okay, move on. It's okay. You can commit the crime. We're not going to say anything. How dangerous is that? And what are we saying to our children when we're doing this? It just doesn't make sense. I think, and I'm thinking, this guy, when he was running, we had his opponent, Kenneth, on the show, Kenneth, and a very intelligent man. And he said that, you know, I know Bragg. I don't like the direction that he's going. Curtis Kenneth. He said, but if he, you know, gets it, he defeats me, you know, I will support him. But what he's looking to do is so wrong. And you even have, like I said, the head of the police, a Black woman, who's saying this is not going to carry over well at all in our communities, because it will be the Black communities that will suffer. You look around you at all these cities and look at the crime, Black on Black crime, broad daylight, people are being killed. Yes, some of them are attacks against Asians and whites, but a majority of them are Black on Black crime. And if Alvin Bragg wants to say that Black lives matter, he needs to rethink this. Because to whom much is given, much is expected. And it is most unfortunate that when you look at these cities and you look at the individuals that are at the top, that are controlling things, unfortunately, and it pains me to say that, they're Blacks who have gotten in control. After years of saying, we can do a better job, we need to represent our own. And then once you're given the opportunity, look at what you do. You let down the community by saying that you can't obey the law because we have low expectations for you. So we're going to let you slide on. And the vicious cycle of criminal activity continues and continues generation after generation. And it creates ill feelings by other individuals who are impacted by these ridiculous laws and the ridiculous prosecution of the laws. It's most unfortunate. And a change has to come at some point. But where? Who's going to bring in the change? We have too many progressives that are okay with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you just wonder who, I mean, you know, the people who are sincere, I guess, by their actions. I mean, there are people who care. I know I always mention this, but I cited the mayor of Atlanta. I don't even know if she's still the mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, but
oh, she's out now, I think.
Yeah, well, she, you know, I know she was not a conservative, but I do think she had some more sincerity. She exploded at them at one point after a child died and told BLM they had to knock it off. Because at a BLM protest at a Wendy's, somebody opened fire and killed a child. I mean, I'm with you, Rob, and I commend you for having the courage to say some of these things, because I love children, you know, and I don't care what color they are. I just hate to see this. I hate to see, you know, it's truly very deeply upsetting to me. And I want to see it get better. And I think we need leaders, Black and white, people who really care about children, to say, you know, their lives matter and we are going to do what we need to do. You know, this isn't, yes, we want to be fair. We don't want Black men or anybody harassed by police unfairly. But you also have to think about, you know, if we're doing this reform on the police side, we also have to talk about, you know, the other victims of senseless violence, you know, and the children are suffering disproportionately. And if we care about Black lives, what about them?
Well, not only that, you had Eric Adams who came out and said, he stood up to one of the BLM chairs and he said, no, we're going to bring back the plainclothes police so that we can eradicate a lot of the crime. When he said that, I think a lot of people were like, wow, this is good. He is going to change things, but then he has a DA because all these individuals have to work together. He now has a DA who's on a completely different page, who seems to be lackadaisical when it comes to crime and how he's going to, his approach to it. And again, the DA is not supposed to make the law. He's just supposed to uphold the law, plain and simple. So you will have him sitting in New York City, willy-nilly, letting crime just run on the rampant, and, well, okay, nothing. And I would submit to you, sir, that a majority of the crime that has been taking place has been by Black people. Yes, there are white-collar crimes. Now, his focus will be on President Trump. As he said, well, I'm going to prosecute him. Now, what about Andrew Cuomo, who's getting off? As we see daily, we're reading that, oh, this charge was dropped, that charge was dropped.
Yep.
What in the heck is going on here? Talk about white privilege. Talk about political privilege. Look no further than Andrew Cuomo. So what was it for? We should have just let him stay in office. But our DA, Alvin Bragg, oh, he's busy. That guy, he's busy going to look for, let me see how I can stop Trump. Trump is not the all to be all.
It's so ridiculous, Rob. It really is. Trump's, I mean, he's long gone from office. And I mean, all that Cuomo presided over, I mean, I don't know whether it was criminal or not, but the terrible decision to mandate that nursing homes accept COVID-19 positive elderly, the huge death toll. You know, something that my mother said the other day, I would quote, she said, you know, I guess stories about thousands of elderly people dying horrible and possibly unnecessary deaths in nursing homes just isn't as sexy a story as, making sexual comments to attractive young women. You know, I mean, not that the latter is okay, but I mean, that Cuomo got more heat for that than he did for this life and death situation. He hasn't been forced to answer questions about that horrible decision about why he underutilized the resources that the federal government sent New York, including that Navy ship and the Javits Center, which was all set up as a well-appointed hospital with military doctors and thousands of beds and oxygen. It went almost unused. Horrible mismanagement, or so it seems, but he's never been even called upon to answer these questions to the taxpayers. It's really horrible, and it's an example of corruption. I mean, this is one-party rule and beyond dominance. It's a one-party lock on the city. And you know, he's gonna sail away, I guess.
Yeah, well said, Heather. Thank you so much to our guest tonight, Heather Robinson, for joining us. We appreciate her coming on and giving us her analysis. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, or wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.